All right, everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 1, we'll read a few verses of Scripture. Mark chapter 14, and starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not of the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. What trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whosoever ye will may do them good. But me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we pray that you meet with us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you take your word and use it to speak to our hearts. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you can do a work, that you do a work that only you can do. Heavenly Father, we pray that you just meet with us, and we pray that your will be done. And we pray that you just speak to the hearts of those here at the church, but also those listening. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here in the first verse that the Lord is in the house of a leper. And we see that the Lord had encountered many dangerous things at this time. And we see that there was a plot to kill Jesus. And I'm sure this wasn't really new to Jesus. And, you know, it wasn't something that really he was concerned about all that much, because obviously he knew the work that he was there to do. And being God, he knew what was going to happen. So, you know, the thing about it is that we have here the priests and the scribes, and they were trying to plot, and they were trying to connive on how they could take care of this Jesus. But here we see that Jesus was entertained in the house of Simon the leper. And, you know, the thing about it is that to Christ, there was no outcast in society. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't care who they were, their social status. He didn't care how much money they had. He didn't care if they were handsome or ugly. And Brother Aaron's got a chance. And so here's the thing is, that's two sermons in a row Brother Aaron got picked on. And but anyways, here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, is that Christ came, you know, and basically he came to everyone. We have here, as Christ is in this house of Simon the leper, a woman comes with her precious ointment. And basically, she basically came, and the Bible says that this was a pricey this alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, the Bible says, was very precious. And so here's the thing is, she broke the box and poured it on her head. And she wanted to give Jesus a blessing. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we see that anytime, just like this lady, anytime that you try and do anything for God, there's criticism. And, you know, these people are basically saying, you know what, you can take and sell this box. You could have sold this box of ointment and given it to the poor. And, you know, here's the thing is, I find it funny that anytime you try and do something great for God, the people that aren't doing something great for God are trying to criticize, and they're trying to make themselves feel better or appease their conscience or whatever, when in a sense, if they were involved in trying to do something great for God, they would have ideas, they would have work that could be done instead of criticism. And so I'll never forget, there was a boss that I had in New Jersey, and he'd always tell the other supervisors and the management. He says, "You know what? What I like about supervisors and management is if you come to me with a problem, bring me two solutions to that problem as well. And that shows me that you're cut out to be a leader." And too many times everybody wants to criticize that, you know what, this isn't being done right or that's not being done right. Well, here's the thing is, let's bring two solutions to the problem. Let's say, hey, you know what, there's a problem, but you know what, I want to be a part of the solution. Too many times we want to be a part of the criticism and not part of the solution. And so anyways, we have here the criticism. And the woman was commended. She had done what she could. She has done what she could. And I tell you what, that's an example, especially today where the government is telling us certain things that we can and can't do. Let me admonish you tonight that we need to do what we can. You know, here's the thing is this is a good example to all, because you know what? There are things that we can do. Too many times when situations like this happen, we say, you know what? Well, just because I haven't been able to do what I normally do, I'm just going to roll over and I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to encourage anybody. I'm not going to be, you know what? I can't go to the church. I can't shake hands. I can't smile. I can't, you know, here's the thing is, and too many times we just say, you know what? Because I haven't been able to do what I normally do, I'm just going to roll over and we'll all wait until it's done and then I'll do something for God. Here's the thing is, the people that decide that they want to do something for God, they will do what they can right now. And so here's the thing is, we're going to look at that tonight. She had done what she could. And number one is, do what you can to build up your faith. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, what we see is kind of a glimpse looking forward is there are things we can do. There are things we can do for Christ. And so anyways, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We overcome through faith. Here's the thing is, we know that from the scriptures that we were saved by faith. And we were saved by trusting in the finished work of Calvary. But here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, our faith enables us to be what we need to be spiritually. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to take time to develop strong faith. We need to be in the Bible, in the scriptures. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, we're going to be in a few verses here. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So you know what? When it comes down to it, we need to build up our faith and do what we can to build up our faith. Well, how do we do that? Here's the thing is, we need to be in the scriptures. We need to be in the scriptures. And there's that saying that either sin will keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. And so when it comes down to it, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, let's just not stop with reading our Bible. Let's memorize the Bible. Let's take and study the Bible. And here's the thing is, too many times we get stuck in this rut on, well, you know what, we got to go through our Bible reading schedule and we just kind of read through it. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll just kind of robotically kind of read through it and not try and get anything out of it. Here's the thing is, you know what, the Bible is our lifeline. The trio sang about throw out the lifeline, but here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to take time to be in the Bible because it'll build our faith. Look in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And so in verse, let's see, 22 through 24, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And so here's the thing is, listen, we need to take time to pray. We need to take time to pray. Listen, God is able to do much more than we ever think of. And here's the thing is, too many times we put God in a box, so to speak. And listen, we try and Too many times we try and do things on our own accord. Well, I'm a self-made man, or I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. But here's the thing: is you know what? We need to have faith in God, and we need to take time to pray. And pray is asking God or talking with God. And here's the thing: is you know what? I don't think, if we're honest with ourselves, I don't think anybody in this room or anybody in the sound of my voice prays enough. And so we need to have, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And so we need to have a prayer life. And next we see in Mark chapter 14, verses 32, the Bible says, and they came to the place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taken him with, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And so here's the thing: is we need to take time to be alone with God. And you know, here's the thing: is too many times we take time for what's important in our lives. You know, we'll take time for television, or we'll take time for the news. And it seems like, especially nowadays, so many people that I know, just every chance they get, they run to the radio or they run to their cell phones to check the news. Here's the thing, is that's exactly how we should be with the Bible. That's exactly how we should be with a walk with God. And so when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you, a walk with God is so much more necessary than the news. You know, to put it in the words of Trump, fake news. And so here's the thing is, you know, too many times, I tell you what, they're just, you know, I gotta say, the one verse that just keeps on, forefront of my thoughts is, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so here's the thing is, you know what? Almost nothing on the news qualifies under that verse. And so we ought to be in the Word of God, and we ought to, why? Because it builds our faith. And so when it comes down to it, we need to exercise our faith so that it grows. And so here's the thing: is do what you can. And so I know that not everybody can be in church, and like Pastor said this morning, many pastors across America are concerned about the what kind of church they're going to have, whether they're going to have a carnal church, whether they have Christians that even come after this coronavirus is all together. Well, the difference is going to be is whether or not that those church people are doing what they can. And you know, here's the thing: is if we have a church, and I don't think we will, but if we have a church that just decides, well, you know what, I can't be in church, and so therefore, you know what, I'm not going to have church altogether. Bible's going to go on the shelf. Prayer's going to be a thing of the past. And here's the thing is, you know what, we're not going to have much of a church left. But if we have a group of people that says, you know what, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to listen to the services. I'm going to be faithful listening to the services. I'm going to be faithful to prayer. I'm going to be faithful to Bible reading. I'm going to be faithful to a walk with God. That you know what, I believe that we're going to have a great church when we come back, one that's maybe stronger in faith, one that knows that, hey, God can take care of me. Even when the world is freaking out, you know what? God is still able. And next is do what you can to build up others. And I like what I remember hearing about a church in another state. The pastor and the staff members and the deacons all got together and they were brainstorming. How can we reach people to Christ during this time? How can I be encouragement? How can I build up other people? And here's the thing is we ought to be brainstorming in our, you know, amongst ourselves saying, you know what? How can I reach out to the other church members? Here's the thing is I got to keep 6 feet. You know what? They're probably not going to appreciate me knocking on their door and breathing on their doorknob. But here's the thing is when it comes down to it, there are things that we can do. Maybe write a note, maybe a phone call, maybe a text. I tell you know what? I don't know of anybody that doesn't want a prayer. And so here's the thing is, you know what? Let's go through the prayer. Let's go through the church directory and not prank calling them, but you know, praying for them. And so here's the thing is when it comes down to it, find ways to build up others. Don't focus on the faults of others. You know, here's the thing is, I tell you what, it seems like most of the time when we focus on other people, it's, well, I tell you what, that guy, you know what, bless his heart, you know, but usually that bless his heart down south usually means you're about ready to gossip about him, you know? And so here's the thing is when it comes down to it, you know, up north here, we, you know, I have a prayer request. That guy, I tell you what, he's you know, anyways. And so here's the thing is, you know what, we disguise everything in prayer requests. You know what? Hey, listen, I tell you what, it is gossip if you really haven't prayed for him. You're asking for a prayer request. And so at that point in time, you're just kind of spreading muck. And so, but anyways, when it comes down to it, you know what? We need to focus on others, not to gossip and not to find fault. You know what? Let's focus on them in prayer. Let's go into our old-fashioned prayer closet and say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to lift up the lives of those around me, and I'm going to pray. And so here's the thing is, you know what? We need to find ways to lift up others. You know, some people are good at cards, and some people are good at, you know, here's the thing is, we can always find a way. I remember hearing one place, now this, I don't know how they got their hands on it, but they found little bottles of hand sanitizer, and they attached a gospel track onto them, and they set them out there. And so here's the thing is, I guess they were going like hotcakes, and you know what? Gospel tracks were just flying off. I don't know where they put them, but you know what? That is somebody that decided, you know what? Hey, listen, we're going to take and we're going to show other people that don't know about Christ. We're going to show them the hope for eternity. And so here's the thing is, you know what, everybody's thinking to, right now about the mortality of man and how, you know what, everybody looks at those, I don't like to see them, but, well, you know, the numbers on, well, how many people are sick in the world and how many people are hospitalized and how many people are dead and then how many people are sick in the United States and how many people are hospitalized and how many people are dead. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, if we're just looking at those and we're fretting, by the way, the opposite of faith is worry. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, if we're just looking at those numbers to say, you know, like, it's coming closer, you know, you might as well, they're coming to take me away, ha ha. They're coming to take me away. You know, whatever you want to do. But here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, if you're looking at those numbers to pray, then by all means, look at those numbers. But if you're looking at them to worry, maybe you ought to shut that garbage off. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to find other, it kind of goes back to building your faith. Because here's the thing is, you know what? Just like there's some people, some places that we need to avoid because of temptation. I tell you what, I knew a pastor from another state. He said, you know what? I can't work on my car. Why? Because I get a little angry when it comes down to it. And so here's the thing is, he leased his car. And when it comes down to it, you know what? There are some things like the news. If we can't handle it, hey, listen, if it causes you to worry more than it causes faith, then I say we need to get into the Word of God a little more than we get into the news. But here's the thing is, the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, here's the thing is that we have neighbors around that maybe are elderly that can't get out, and we have people that are maybe in our church or whatever. Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you know, we have a way. We have unique opportunities. I'll never forget, we were up in Michigan very early on, and I don't remember if Cassie probably would have been born at this time, and I had a pickup truck with four-wheel drive, and I'll never forget, we had a bad snowstorm, and everybody was getting stuck everywhere, so I told Stephanie, I'm like, hey, I'm going out, and I'll be back in a long time, and anyways, I threw my tow strap in the back of the truck, and I was towing people out right and left, but you know what, after I pulled them out of the snowdrift in the street, I'd hand them a gospel track. You know what? With unique times come unique opportunities. And so when it comes down to it, we need to find ways of bearing one another's burdens. And so here's the thing is, the Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Listen, we're supposed to be an example of the believers. When it comes down to it, you know what? There are a lot of people just shutting their doors to the church, saying, you know what? The virus has got us down. We're just shutting her down. And you know what? We're not doing anything for God until the virus leaves. You know what? That's not being an example to the believers. And so when it comes down to it, we need to do what we can. We need to blaze the trail, so to speak. We need to find ways that we can bear one another's burdens. We can find ways that we can lift people up. Find ways that we can reach the lost. Find ways, and the Bible says, to be an example in word, in conversation and in charity. And so here's the thing is, and the Bible says an example in spirit and faith and in purity. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to be an example. We need to be an example, someone to look to. You know, I remember when I was growing up, my dad, I believe it was my dad used to tell me, you know, you can learn something from everyone. You can either learn what to do or you can learn what not to do. Here's the thing is, you know what? I don't want to be the example of what not to do. I want to be the one that somebody looks at and says, you know what? I can do something great for God because, you know what? But that Pastor Wilman, he's nothing special, but you know what? God's doing something great in his life. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to be an example. And so, but next, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, wherein they lie wait to deceive." And so here's the thing is, you know what? We have an awesome opportunity. You say, well, you know what? Here's the thing is, I know a pastor said it a lot that God gives each church the necessary talents for that church to succeed, for that church to do something great for God. And here's the thing is, you know what? I believe that there are some talents right now in our church and in churches across America that they decided that, you know what? They couldn't do much for God. Well, when it comes down to it, remember that saying, she did what she could. And here's the thing is, you know what? Are you and I using the talents that God has given us in this church, and to further the ministry and to share the gospel and to see many souls saved and lives changed? See, here's the thing is that you know what? We're supposed to speak in love, and we're supposed to encourage in love. And you know what? When it comes down to it, this one lady, the Bible talks about how it was going to be talked about for a long time. And you know what? The whole reason was is she did what she could. She didn't care about the critics. She didn't care about the circumstances. Here's the thing is, she just decided, you know what? There's something I'm going to do, and I don't care about the cost. I don't care how much it costs me. You know what? Here's the thing is, I've heard many pastors speculate about how much money that box of ointment was worth. I'm not even gonna try and guess or try and expound on that. But here's the thing is, you know what? Either way, the Bible calls it precious. And so here's the thing is, what's precious in your life that you're not willing to give up for God because you just don't think you can? And so here's the thing is, let me encourage you tonight. What we need to be striving for is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, the thing about it is if we're going to do that, it's because we've done what we can. And you know, here's the thing is, there will be and there always will be critics. But when it comes down to it, you know what? We need to try and build our faith. We need to do what we can to build our faith. We need to do what we can to reach others. And we need to do what we can to serve the Lord. And, you know, here's the thing is, we don't know how long we have here on this earth. You know what? The Bible talks about our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. I've seen it time and time again, and I'm sure Pastor has. You know what? We come up with every excuse in the book on why we shouldn't have to do right now what we could. I remember hearing teenagers say, well, you know what? When I get to be an adult, I'll serve God. I'll do something for God with my life. And then adulthood happens. Well, you know what? After I get kids, I'll serve God. Well, after my kids get a little older. Well, after I retire. And here's the thing, as they get to the end of their life, their life is just about wasted. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. When it comes down to it, I would rather die with my boots on than die hunkered in a bunker. And so when it comes down to it, listen, we need to take and we need to finish the course. We need to, the Bible says, moreover, there is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. The Bible talks about better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. How are we going to end our lives? Are we going to hide it under a bushel? Or are we going to say, you know what? While I'm here, I'm going to do what I can. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this lesson that you've given us from this lady, and what a powerful story that is. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the fact that you put it in the Bible to challenge us and to convict us. I pray that during this time of this coronavirus, that you would help us to be creative, help us to look to you for direction. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to do what we can for you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.